Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulullah. Alhamdulillah, nasta'inu wa astaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina min sayyati amalina ma yahdihillahu fala mudhillalah wa ma yudlilhu fala hadiyalah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu wattaqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna wa illa antum muslimun. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحد وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحم إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. By the way, everybody here speaks Arabic, yes or no? Okay, we need English. So I'm going to have to do translation from my native language to the English language. And I can do that, by the way, because I have a degree in English. So I'm going to translate from the Texas language to the English language. But if I slip, just tell me and I'll try to give tarjuma, inshallah. The praise is to Allah, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our sins. And whoever Allah guides, then nobody's going to misguide them. But whoever Allah misguides, then nobody can guide them. We bear witness in open testimony there's no deity to worship except Allah alone, and that He has no partners, and that Muhammad is His final messenger. O you who believe, have taqwa for Allah. But I'm going to jump to the end of it in just the last part of what I was saying, because most of you heard this all the time from the imams anyway. When it says, Ya yuladina amanu atakallaha wa kulu kaulan sadida, what does that mean? Anybody knows what that means? Well, for you who believe, have taqwa for Allah and say the truth. Kulu kaulan sadida. Always say the right thing, the true thing. I think that's what I want to talk about tonight, is the subject of saying the right thing, especially saying the right thing at the right time, because it looks like the Muslims are in trouble today all over the world, and it looks like we could do a lot better if we just knew how to say the right thing at the right time, which could also include saying nothing at the right time. When it's not good to say anything at all. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir yaqulu khayr aw yasmut. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, told us that let the one who believes in Allah in the last day either say good or be quiet. He also, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gave us the example with his life, that you could look at his life and see how did he behave with the people. And before he was known as a prophet, before the wahi or revelation came, before that, he was known through his whole life as who? What was one of his names? A sadiq. What does a sadiq mean? The one who always tells the truth, right? And there's actually a passage mentioned in the New Testament. Most of you know I used to be a preacher somewhat, anyway, of Christianity. And in the New Testament, there is a passage or a verse in the Bible. And it talks about that Isa, or Jesus, peace be upon him, says that the one who will come after him will be known as the Spirit of Truth. Well, that fits pretty good, right? The Spirit of Truth, a sadiq. And that's exactly what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, the Spirit of Truth. He spoke the truth so much that he was known for that. In fact, he was known that he never ever in his whole life ever told a lie. And he didn't accept people to tell lies even in jokes. Did you imagine this? How many times a day, never mind about once in the life, how many times a day are we saying things that it's not true? And sometimes we say we're joking, and other times we're just lying. So maybe, Allah Alam, maybe this is one of our problems. What do you think? I'm sure Allah, He doesn't like it. Otherwise, why would He tell us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida? What is taqwa, by the way? Anybody, can you tell me what's taqwa? Fear of Allah? Anybody know what's the etymology of the word from taqwa? Huh? Protection. Yeah, sort of. Actually, it means to put some partition between you and something. But how in the world would you put a partition between you and Allah? You can't do that, can you? I don't think so. So what does it mean exactly? It means, according to the Shaykh about this subject, they said it means to put between you and Allah a barrier against His anger. So that's why we say fear of Allah. You have this concern, this fear that Allah is going to punish. He has ghadab, or anger. So you want to protect yourself against that. And how you put something between you and that anger of Allah, or a barrier, is by doing two things. One, the things which Allah likes, and staying away from the things which Allah doesn't like. So that makes sense. That's the best way to describe it. The taqwa, piousness, piety, righteousness, it doesn't cut it. Because we really don't have the word in English. Why? And I'm from Texas, as you know. So, and you see on the back of a pickup truck in Texas, they have these bumper stickers. They got one for every occasion, by the way. And I was talking about one of the bumper stickers on the way over here. They have one that says, ignorant and proud of it. But another one they have, it says, no fear. No fear. They're not afraid of anything. Everything's a big joke. They don't fear Allah. They don't fear Yawmul Qiyamah. They don't fear their sins will be in front of them. They don't fear in the qabr, in the grave, what's going to happen to them. They have no fear. Subhanallah. So for people like this, then the Prophet told them, if you have no fear, then just do whatever you want. If you have no fear, do whatever you want. Go ahead. Who will care? And when there is this attitude, then saying whatever you want to say is no problem. You say this, you say that, you can make jokes, you can, anything you want to do is okay. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a sense of humor. By the way, don't misconstrue what I said to mean that he doesn't like to have some fun or joking around, because he had, but not lying, not telling lies. I'll give you an example of the most extreme of the jokes that I heard from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The translation of it says that a lady was asking him about being in Jannah. She was an old lady. And he said, oh, you didn't know? He said, there's no old ladies in Jannah. And then he went to make salah, and when he came back, he found this lady's crying. He said, what's the matter? She said, you said no old ladies in Jannah. He said, that's because you'll be young and beautiful in the Jannah. She said, oh. But he didn't lie. And probably didn't even really mean for her to cry about it. You know, he was just saying, don't you know, in Jannah there won't be any old ladies. But what happens for us, it comes step by step. The way shaitan works, and by the way, we need to admit something. Shaitan is our enemy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it in the Quran. Clearly. Real clear. This is in Surah Baqarah. You can find it in there. I think it's Ayah 208 that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling us about the danger of being like this shaitan. He, the shaitan, you know, he used to worship Allah. He used to worship Allah a lot. and at the in the morning, in the night, and at noontime. Exactly. But then he changed and he stopped worshiping Allah because of one thing, and that is that he disobeyed Allah. He didn't want to bow down when Allah ordered him to bow down. He ordered all the creation to bow down, and he wouldn't do it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في سلم خافة ولا تتابعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين.
It means, O you who believe, enter into Islam perfectly. Assume Islam perfectly. And that's by obeying the rules and regs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set out for us. Don't follow in the footsteps of shaitan. And then Allah said, innahu, for sure he is lakum, to you, an enemy. And mubin, it means clearly. Clearly, totally. Don't have any doubt about this guy. He is your enemy. Don't follow his footsteps, and be sure you know he is your enemy. And he comes step by step to you. It's interesting, Allah would use this expression of footsteps. Don't follow in his footsteps, because that is exactly how he comes. He doesn't come like just all at once and jump. No, he comes step by step by step, inching forward, more and more and more. One little thing at a time. Is that true? I give you an example. For instance, whenever the people become religious, the shaitan doesn't come to them and tell them, don't be religious anymore. Because they will resist that immediately. That's normal. You would resist that. And also, when the shaitan comes, he's not going to make it clear what his position is. In fact, he's going to come to you as a friend. He'll come to you as a friend. He'll tell you, you should do more worship. And you're going to say, no, wait a minute, shaitan wouldn't do that. Oh yeah, he will. Until you do more. And do more, and do more, and do more. Until what? Until what? Until you can't take it anymore. And you get fed up. Because you're praying all the time, and fasting all the time, and giving away everything. You don't have anything anymore. So you become to the point where you're going crazy. You can't take it. You get fed up. And that happens to us even today. And who's telling you to push yourself like this? Push yourself more and more. It's not going to help you to do this. I was listening to some people talking about this subject about becoming ascetic, which is to renounce this world. Give up everything of this world. Turn your back on it. But if a person gives up the things of this world totally, then where did you get that idea from? If Allah didn't want you to be in this world, He wouldn't have put you here, would He? If you give up this world, what is it, like you're going to get in a rocket ship and go to Mars? But Allah put you here. Why? And if you have wealth, should you just throw it out in the water and just walk away from it? That doesn't make any sense. Who gave you the wealth? Allah. And if you have a brain, should you stop using it? Huh? And if you're good looking, like me, then, you know, just kidding. But Allah give everybody something. You don't have to turn your back against it. The reason some of the Sahabi and some of the righteous people of the past turned away from it is because it distracted them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, for instance, the one who came to Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he used to pray or make salah and remember Allah in his garden. He had a beautiful garden, but it distracted him a lot. He became very attached to the garden, and he would forget Allah. Now let me give you an example. Suppose you are making salah, you know, and all of a sudden you find yourself talking on the cell phone. I thought I was in salah, and now all of a sudden how I'm in a conversation with somebody on the cell phone. This means the cell phone distracted me from the salah so much so I don't even know if I'm praying or talking to somebody on the cell phone. And therefore, now it's time for you to do something, and that's get rid of the cell phone. And I think maybe that's a better comparison for us today. A problem that we have, we don't even want to turn it off long enough to make salah. You have a problem. Have you noticed this? Some people make jokes out of it. I don't really think it's that funny. When I see somebody in the masjid, and he's in ruku' and his phone rings, and he picks it up and he goes, "I'm in salah." Somebody needs to tell him it's past tense. You were in salah until you answered the phone. And you just lost it. You need to start all over again. When I was brand new Muslim, that happened to me one time. The telephone rang. I was expecting a call, so I just stopped praying and I went over to the phone and I answered it. And it was a Muslim, a good friend, and I told him what happened. And he said, "Oh my God, man, you can't do that. You can't just leave the salah and answer the phone." I said, "Should I have said salam alaikum first?" This is serious. Allah is testing you, you know. But I want to come back to our subject about telling the truth. Shaitan comes to you step by step by step. He plays with you. He'll make you think what you're doing is actually good. Or at least it's not that bad. It's not that bad. They ask me questions about halal and haram, for instance. Television. Is television haram or halal? Television. Halal or haram? Huh? Television is halal. Just don't turn it on. It's no problem. Because when you get the TV, well, it's nice looking and it's, you know, big box sitting there, and you turn it on and, oh, it has the news. Good. Animal shows for kids. Good. And information on their education, history, mashallah. We need education. Need the TV, right? But along with it, what comes with it? There's nothing on television that's going to be on that TV set from one minute to the next except they're going to have music in it. Am I right or wrong? Is music halal or haram? Well, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. If you shop around, you can get fatwa for music. It's not too big of a deal anymore today. It's not a problem. Shop around a little bit. You go to Kmart, get a 2-chicken fatwa. When I was in Egypt, I found that they have a joke over there. They call it 2-chicken fatwa. If you give the sheikh 2 chickens, you get your fatwa. Alhamdulillah. Shop around. You might get it better than that. I don't know. Shop around. Shop around. This is the beginning. The music. Then the next thing, you don't have any television anywhere except you got women on there with no hijab. Yeah, but brother, they'll tell you, they're not Muslim. You can't expect a woman to wear hijab and she's not a Muslim, right? Oh, okay. So that's no problem. Right? Except why do you have to have a woman for everything? Even when they're selling you a car, it has to be a woman there with no clothes on to sell you a car. Why? And this is what we find. And in the news, every time news, especially in the Muslim countries, has to be a woman to tell you the news. Did you notice that? Has to be. Unbelievable that you would have a man give you the news. Always has to be that a woman's giving it to you. Without hijab, of course. Had to be modern. Step by step. And then, of course, when you got the TV on, then there's the regular programs that go along with it that are horrible. But you'd never watch those, would you? You wouldn't do that, would you? Except they run the ads for those programs all over the place, don't they? So in effect, you are still watching it, aren't you? You're seeing the stuff on there. About Jerry Springer, The Simpsons, Beavis and Butthead. It's all on there. You say, but I'm not watching that. That's just the commercial for it. Step by step by step. You see it. Your children see it. And then it becomes normal to have a television going on. Am I right? It's very normal. But that television's a liar. That's the biggest liar there ever was. And as far as I'm concerned, this is my personal opinion, and I have about 52 years experience with television. Because that's when we got our first one. Because I was about 10 years old. And I remember it. And I remember how it starts out. Step by step. Step by step. Entertainment. We need entertainment, you know. Because if you go to the movies, it costs money. And you have to stand in line and you have to go out. But here now you can bring entertainment into your house. You don't have to go stand in line. You don't have to pay all this money. And television in this country is free. Some countries is not free, by the way. You have to pay money to watch it. Of course, we have that now, too, with cable. But this liar, this television, doesn't have anything in there of any benefit, as far as I'm concerned. First of all, I'm going to go backwards and mention some of the things. We talked about history. Have you ever watched television and they tell you the history? Ask your children. They watch it all the time. Ask them. Who discovered America? Anybody know? Who discovered America? We have a young man right here. Who discovered America? Do you know his name? You don't know? Good. How many people will tell you Columbus? They'll even tell you the year was 1492. Right? But did he discover America? He never put his foot anywhere in the United States. And he came like 3 or 4 times over here. But he never made it. He was down in the islands, you know, south of here. He came the first time in October. Well, that makes sense. If you know anything about the weather around here, the best time to go to the islands is in the fall. Like, so maybe his travel agent got him a good deal off-season down in the, I don't know. But he never once came to the United States. And they say he's the first. They discovered the earth is round. Have you heard that? He discovered the earth is round. Who discovered that? Columbus. 1492. Never mind, Al-Azhar University has a globe that's 1,000 years old and it has the outline of the United States on it. How did they get that? 500 years before there was somebody named Christopher Columbus. And how come it is that when he came over, there were 3 ships that came over. These ships had prisoners. The only people that were on there were prisoners. This is what it says in the history books. Did you know that? And they were all out of the same prison. And these were old ships. And these people knew how to run these ships. And they had their own charts in their language. And he had a navigator who could read the charts to him. How do you have a chart for some place nobody's been to? I don't know. How do you do that? Can you have a map of a place nobody ever been to before? Huh? What was the name of the navigator and what was his language? Who knows? His name was Muhammad and the language was Arabic. Did you know that? So who really discovered America? Yeah, really. And who already knew the earth was round? Really. And you're never going to learn that from the television, are you? Are they going to tell you that Muslims discovered that the earth was round from reading the Quran and Allah told us about it and how it turns and winds? No. Are they going to tell you that the Muslims are the first ones to open up the trade routes into China long before there was somebody named Marco Polo? Huh? I'm from Texas. We can't pronounce some words. No, I don't think so. I don't think the television is a good source of history. But, wait a minute. Some people said animals. Watching animals. How much time do you use watching animals on television? But yet, in the real life, you don't do anything with the animals around you at all. Nothing. You gotta watch and be sure you understand the mating habits of the Canadian moose. Huh? and never saw a moose in your life and never will, but yet you know all about him and fuzzy horns and all the rest of it. Big deal. Or some kind of bullfrog down in South America. But you, it's real interesting. You don't want to miss that. And Shaitan keeping you from doing what? Are you reading the Quran? No, you're too busy. You're too busy. Are you praying anything extra, any salah extra? No, you're too busy. Do you ever sit and make dhikr? You say, man, I'm not a Sufi, I don't do that. But in fact, the Prophet ﷺ, he made dhikr all the time. And people used to make dhikr while they work. Do you do that? How are you going to make dhikr and watch television? Huh? How? Television is dhikr for shaitan. It's the biggest liar. It is the biggest liar. And it introduces things to you step by step. Now let's go to the weather. Because I know somebody's going to say, no, at least I only watch the weather. And so they predict what the weather's going to be, right? Are they ever wrong? Huh? Isn't it in our Aqidah that nobody knows what the weather's going to be tomorrow except Allah? So why don't you just do like the old Arabs used to do, look up at the sky and guess. Because that's all those guys are going to do. They're just going to guess. Now I've been talking about lies, lying, and the biggest liar, which is Shaitan, and some of his tools. That was my subject tonight, to talk on that. And I rambled along a little bit, mentioned of my old friend the television set. I want to be sure, though, that we keep things in perspective, because just because we're living in this so-called modern age with all our technology, it doesn't mean that this is going to save us. In fact, this technology that we're using today could be the very thing to put us in hell, because of the way we misuse it. To use these devices to help promote Islam is a good idea. But how much of the time do we really do that? How much of any television programming is dedicated to make people really think about Allah? Very little. Almost zero. And even then, it comes twisted. If we saw a program about Islam on a Muslim channel, an Arabic channel, still, it's going to be twisted. Because the real Islam is not supposed to be coming to you from electronics. Then Allah said it, and we read it in the Quran. Entered into Islam perfectly. Perfectly. And that's the same way that the Sahabi used to enter into Islam. The same way that people used to understand Islam was that you're here on this earth for a short period of time. And you're going to die. So you try to take advantage of that time before it's too late. And isn't it true that that was said by Abdullah, the son of Omar, to take advantage of this time. And Shaitan is going to deceive you about that. To waste your time on the wrong things. To say the wrong things, especially that it's okay to tell these little called white lies. It's okay to tell little white lies until you're telling such big lies we don't even know what's the truth anymore. Now ask yourself, why are Muslims around the world suffering like we're suffering today? And we are, by the way. Muslims are really suffering a lot around the world. And ask ourselves why. It's Allah that's letting it happen to us, am I right? Why is He doing that? And look how we treat our Islam. Look how we are. So, I'll wrap it up by just mentioning that if I really want to cure the problem, I got to start in my own house by learning how to turn that television set off. It's going to be hard for you. That's going to be really hard. Because you're addicted to it. You love that thing. And your kids love it more than you do. And when you try to turn it off, everybody in the whole house is going to say you became a Wahhabi. An extremist. Why do you want to turn off the TV? We need it. But that's a good place to start. Also, to increase the amount of time we spend thinking about Allah and reading His book. The ones who memorize the Quran use their time full blown through the day, reciting it over and over and over. Did you notice that? Somebody wants to memorize Quran, when they go to the Quran school to memorize, how many hours a day are they reciting Quran? Almost as much time as you spend watching television. Almost. Because that's the only way you're going to get the Quran. You can't just pick it up and lay it under your head and expect that you're going to memorize it, right? No, you have to recite it over and over and over and over and over and over. So you need time for that. So if we use our time for Quran, for dhikr, and for salah, I'm sure that's going to be better for us than the television. And maybe, just maybe, then Allah is going to start answering our dua. And I have a dua that I want Allah to answer for all of us. Allahumma nizal islam wa muslimin. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us and guide us and put us back on the right track and help us to start telling the truth and staying away from these things that keep us away from Him. Ameen. And for more programs like this, you can tune into our website at islamtomorrow.com. Our website's open 24 hours a day, and there's plenty of free parking.